I am a little distracted this morning. I can't quite focus very well. So you might say, well, sit down then, Father. Give us a break. But it is a challenge to be answered, to kind of get my head back in the game, as it were. Did we do the second lesson? We did? See, I didn't even hear it, so that kind of tells you something about what's going on in my brain. And part of it is that the task today for us all is to consider the words of Jesus in today's gospel lesson, the story as it is known among many writers as the rich young man. Mark doesn't call him rich at all. In fact, that's something reserved to Matthew. Mark and Luke just refer to him as a young man or just a man. So we have a tendency in the church to put all three together. So he's a rich young man. He comes to Jesus and he's asking what he must do to gain eternal life. And Jesus is fairly clear. He said, you know what's required already. You know the law. You know the law of Moses. You know everything that God wants of his people. And then he enumerates those commandments that we're so familiar with. And the man then turns around and he says, well, I have done all these things. But somehow, you see, in the heart of that man, there was something missing. He just knew something was not quite right. And so that's why he came to Jesus, even though he was very much in tune with the requirements of the religious practice and establishment of his day. He was, as we might say today, a regular churchgoer. He did all of the things that he was supposed to do. But in his heart of hearts, he just felt there was something missing. And so he presses Jesus, and Jesus tells him, okay, well, if you've done all these things, then there is one more thing you must do. You must give up all that you possess, give it to the poor. And the gospel writer tells us very clearly that the man didn't like what he heard and in fact was sort of surprised at what he heard, and the word is astounded, not only he but the disciples as well. And he turned away, we are told, and he went away very sad because he had many possessions. Now, this story has been used and abused by the church over the years on how, you know, none of us is supposed to own anything and we're supposed to live in some great commune somewhere. We're all supposed to become socialists or communists, perhaps, depending on your political take. And there may be some truth to that along the way, because if we look at the book of Acts, that's exactly what the early disciples did. They said they put everything in common. They owned nothing for themselves. But that's a lofty calling, to be sure. So if that's the case, then what is it that Jesus is really saying? If he's not saying what the words seem to say, what does it mean for us in our day and in our age, how we have to live our lives in our world? I would still say perhaps that this young man still lacked something. There was something, a matter of the heart, that was not present in him, that he did not experience, and that he needed to find. And that's why he pressed Jesus for this answer. And Jesus' answer was actually kind of a practical answer to a more theoretical, a more abstract reality. And that's what I would maybe challenge us with today. That abstract reality is summed up in a simple word, trust. You see, because if you give away everything and give all your money to the poor, it's not coming back to you. It's not an investment for the future. Basically, Jesus is saying, you must learn in your life not to trust in your own goodwill, not to trust in your own good works, not to trust in the way that you live, these wonderful things that God gave you, but rather, you must simply trust in God for absolutely everything. Trust. Maybe that's what Jesus is saying to this rich young man. And I think that might be true, because if we really look at the first lesson, Job, and we look at the entire story of Job, we find that the one thing that gets Job through is just that. It's trust. Because all that Job has, his wealth, his home, his children, his own health, all of it is taken away from him. And still, being tempted by Satan, he will not reject God. Somehow, when we really look at it, the only thing that makes sense to me is that Job trusted in God. And though no matter what would happen to him, Job would find out in the end that all would be well. Because God said so. God promised this. And so, in the end, if Job would persist in his trust, he would see, as it actually happened in the story, it all restored to him from God. Now, on one level, all of this was taken away from Job. Job didn't freely give it all up. Jesus, in one sense, is asking of this rich young man an even higher standard. He's not saying, well, if God takes this away from you, just keep trusting God, all will be well. No, he's saying, no, you've got to get rid of it yourself. I know how hard that is. I can tell you for a fact. All you need to do is look at our house. It's full. There's only two people living in it. That's a big house. All you need to do is open the garage door. There hasn't been a car in that garage in 14 years. At first, it was all the stuff we didn't have a place for when we moved in, and now it's just a place, all the stuff that we've collected since. Now, some of the stuff that we moved in, interestingly enough, some of them was a box full of tins, we discovered. Tins, you know, those sort of artistic tins that you get, you know, cakes and cookies and things in. Well, these were tins from Hershey Company. So you know what they were full of. And they've been stored in the garage, which is not air-conditioned, mind you, for 14 years. I dare say that any value within them is pretty much gone. But we persist in keeping the tins. Because any of you who watch PBS, maybe watch Antiques Roadshow, something like that, but they always say the only thing that keeps value is if you don't redo it. You keep it in the original tin, the original carton, the original wrappings, all that. That adds value. And so that's why it's never been touched. Even though they were tins full of candy, we never ate the candy. It's probably just a big glob of melted mess at this point. And if they were Hershey Kisses, it's probably also interspersed with little pieces of foil along the way. But there it is. We got it. We have it. We're holding it. Because sometime, somewhere, some way, it's going to be more valuable because it still has the original wrapping and they've never been opened. Candy doesn't increase in value, but the tins do. That's only one example. Letting go of things is very hard. Taking things away on our own, giving them away, I should say, it's very difficult, especially if they have some meaning to us, particularly if they have some emotional attachment to them, or perhaps because they bring back memories of a certain time in our lives or a certain feeling that we experienced. You know, we all collect all of those memorabilia things, those tchotchkes, you know, when we go on vacations and things and we go someplace and we buy this little statue and, you know, we keep it as a keepsake to remember the experience by, and if we live long enough, it begins to fill up. Maybe it doesn't have a lot of value innately, inertly, but rather it has value to me, to us. So it's hard to give it up, get rid of it. And yet that's what Jesus is asking of this rich young man. Trust. It's hard to trust. Extremely hard to trust, especially when you're talking about your very life. When you're talking about the things that help you make sure you get through life. Most of us do one of two things. We either dwell on the past and how things used to be, or we worry about the future. Very few of us have developed the spiritual discipline or skill to live in the moment, right here, right now. Because to do that requires an immense amount of trust. Trust in God. That trust that God will take care of us regardless of whatever comes down the road. That is a hard thing. Now, some of you know that one of the vacations we like to take is a cruise. The last cruise we took had this wonderful thing called a rock climbing wall on the top deck of the ship. Now, it's not very big, it's not all that tall, so it's a little less intimidating than the ones you might get at Spooky Nook or one of those places around here. But in fact, if you wanted to try it, you know, the gentlemen who are there to make sure everything goes well guarantee you that the harness and the ropes that you're about to put onto your body could probably save a car. Now, I know I'm a little large, but I certainly don't weigh the 5,000 pounds of a car. And so that way I can trust the rope and I can trust the harness and I can trust them. I hope that, you know, that they know what they're doing. And trust me, when you get up on, you know, you start climbing up and suddenly a couple waves come along, it's like the earth underneath you is shifting. And as you climb higher and higher, you get a little more and more tense. Because the trust is demanded is greater and greater and greater still. That's nothing compared to, well, there's a new movie out. I don't know if you've seen it. I haven't yet, but I've seen the trailers for it. It looks very interesting. And given my age and experience, it was one of those things I want to see. It's called The First Man. It's the story of, really, of Neil Armstrong, who was the first man to walk on the surface of the moon. But the story goes through the entire process of how we answered the challenge of President Kennedy in his first inaugural address when he challenged us to put a person on the moon and safely return them to Earth within the span of a decade. And the country got to work trying to figure all this out. Now, if I was Neil Armstrong, I would want to be able to trust that all of the engineers that have been working on this issue for a very long time, all of the trial and error that took place, all of the kind of understandings and knowledge that was required to move things forward would create and engender within me a great deal of trust. But nonetheless, I can't imagine what it would have been like going into that lunar module, going down, 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 onto the surface of the moon, and never really knowing if you were going to get off. If you were going to fly back to that space capsule and get back to Earth safely. You didn't really know because you were the first one. That requires a great deal more trust than climbing a rock wall on a cruise ship. And yet, that's the kind of trust that Jesus talks to us about. That's the kind of trust that Jesus says we need to have. That's the kind of trust he's asking this rich young man to demonstrate. Give up all that you have, all of your possessions. Sell it. Give the money to the poor. Come, follow me. Today, as you know from bulletin announcements and the newsletter, the Angelus, is the beginning of our annual membership campaign. It is a time that we, as a parish family, are being asked, like this rich young man, to trust God that all in the end will be well, first of all, but secondly, that as we make our way there, we can trust in God for each step that we take. And so the challenge for us today as we enter this time of prayer and reflection is to consider, how much can I give up of what I possess in order that others might hear the good news of the gospel? That others might grow deeper in their spirituality? That those in the world around us may experience the works of mercy which we can accomplish because we do them together. God is asking us how much we can trust Him to provide for us and make sure that we have what we need for our families, for our children, for our homes, and still give of ourselves. Whether it is through the time that we spend or the gifts of talent that we've been given or of our financial resources. All of those things demand trust from God. Demand trust of us, rather, trust of God. To give up of our time, to use our skills and talents to move the mission of the gospel forward, are critical. But also important in the world that we live in is the opportunity to make sure that everything we need to accomplish this is at hand. And so I am asking you, are you willing to trust God enough to give of yourselves, to pledge your financial support for this place and its ministry, that we might together accomplish our mission, our vision, in such a way that our trust grows? And because of that, our love deepens for one another, for God, and for the world that Christ came to save. I don't often preach about money, and I am not preaching about money today. I am using that as an example of how we can measure how much we trust in God. Take out a dollar bill, turn it over, and there is a motto: in God we trust. Actually, we really don't trust in God. We trust in the national banking system. But someone will honor that piece of paper with a certain value. But if we truly do trust in God, how many of those can we give away? Can we give for the purposes of working through to the kingdom of God, to make valid and valuable all the things that are done in Christ's name by this parish family in our day, in our age, in this place? Not constantly worried about the future, nor dwelling in the past, but living each and every day, day to day to day, trusting in the love and the confidence that we have in God, and in the love that God has for us, and that God will sustain us and support us in our efforts. It's never a smooth road, ask Job. But you see, Job trusted God, and in the end, it was right. It was well. It was all restored to him. So too can it be with us. By pledging our support financially for the work of this parish, we are not making an investment for the future. We are sustaining the kingdom of God. Can there be a less noble calling? And yet that is the challenge of this day. And so, my friends, my brothers, my sisters in Christ, I give that to you for your reflection, to think on how much do we really trust God individually and as a community, that whatever we need for the day to do the work of the day will be available to us, whether that work is in our family, in our workplace, our schools, or here in this parish facility. Only one thing you lack, young man. Trust in God. You will find what you seek.